Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, June 9, 2017. President Salva Kiir will not attend the upcoming IGAD summit in Addis Ababa.
The president had already some other commitments, and because of those other commitments, which has actually coincided to happen the same time that the president is wanted to be in Addis, his absence is not a bad thing.
And SPLA-IO is claiming responsibility for yesterday's deadly attack on the Juba Nimule Road.
One colonel was killed. He's from the SPLA army. Then another brigadier wounded. The brigadier now is in Juba undergoing treatment. The wounded also, they are civilians and some of our security personnel.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's President Salva Kiir will miss Monday's extraordinary summit on South Sudan in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Presidential spokesman Ateng Wek Ateng says the president has other commitments that are of equal importance to the country. Ateng says his government has asked the regional body, IGAD, to reschedule the meeting for later this month or next month to accommodate the president's schedule. He tells INBR if IGAD goes ahead with the summit as planned on Monday, the government will send an envoy on behalf of President Kiir.
It is not South Sudan who is organizing the meeting. It is the IGAD leadership, that the IGAD secretariat that are actually planning for the extraordinary meeting of the head of the state and government of IGAD, in which South Sudan is one. It is on that note that South Sudan is asking to excuse, you know, itself on attending the meeting at the level of the president, because the president is busy on other schedules, and so the president has apologized to attend at this time, according to the letter that will be delivered to the chairperson of the IGAD state in Addis Ababa, would suggest if it is postponed for the other time, maybe within this month or next month, then South Sudan will be able to attend at the level of the president.
And what if that request does not go through? What is the contingency plan?
The contingency plan will be to send an envoy to attend on behalf of the president
and
to represent South Sudan for that matter.
What will the president be doing on Monday to prevent him from attending the IGAD meeting?
Well, I cannot speak about the list of what the president will be doing. He's a president of the nation, so he had other commitments, the commitment that are also important in as much as his attendance on the IGAD head of state and government summit would have been.
And who will go on behalf of the president if he indeed cannot make it on Monday?
Well, first, it is for the letter that is sent to the head of, you know, to the chairman of IGAD to be responded first. If they respond positively in favor of postponing the IGAD summit to the other time, then there will be need for mentioning a person that would be attending on behalf of the president.
And
but if they so, you know, decide to continue and that they wanted the president to be represented, then someone will be asked, someone at the highest level, will be asked to attend on behalf of the president.
This appears to be an important meeting. Is the president concerned that he himself might be missing out on meeting with his colleagues across the region?
I know the meeting is very important, but at the same time, owing to the fact that the president had already some other commitments, and because of those other commitments, which has actually coincided to happen the same time that the president is wanted to be in Addis, his absence is not a bad thing. It is well intended, because, you know, the president has to attend to a meeting in South Sudan.
That's South Sudan's presidential spokesman, Ateng Wek Ateng, speaking to INBR earlier today from Juba. More details are emerging about yesterday's deadly attack on the Juba-Nimule Road. Police spokesman Brigadier General Daniel Justin says 10 out of the 15 people killed in the attack were soldiers, including a colonel. An SPLM-IO spokesman claimed responsibility for the attack. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from the capital, Juba.
South Sudan Police spokesman Brigadier General Daniel Justin says most of those killed in yesterday's rot attack were soldiers.
One colonel was killed. Yes, he's from the SPLA Army. Then another brigadier wounded, yes. The brigadier now is in Juba undergoing treatment. Security, there were 10 and 4 civilians. The wounded also, they are civilians and some of our security personnel.
Yesterday's attack was the deadliest since January, although several other attacks have occurred along the highway over the past few months. Since the start of the year, authorities have been deploying military escorts to protect civilians traveling between Juba and Nimule. Justin says the police are deploying more forces along the highway to prevent similar deadly attacks.
All the time we are changing according to the situation on the ground. We have monitoring the movement of these gangs and so on.
SPLA-IO rebels allied to former First Vice President Riek Machar have claimed responsibility for the deadly attack. SPLA-IO Deputy Military Spokesman Colonel Lampaul Gabriel says the attack was carried out to retaliate government actions against the rebels.
The Nyanya Division of the SPLA-IO in Motong is responsible for that attack on the ambush on Nimule Juba Road. They made it plain that we, the forces of SPLA-IO in Imotong, accepted the national dialogue that we are going to put down our arms and go to Juba. We are not a separate entity from the major IO. IO is one under Riek Machar Teng, who is our commander-in-chief. If there is only going to be a dialogue, it will be through him and only him that we can accept the national dialogue. So yesterday, we decided to tell the government that enough is enough.
SPLA Deputy Spokesperson Colonel Santo Domich says three women abducted during the attack are still missing. Domich accuses the rebels of provoking the SPLA to try to stir up more fighting and frustrate efforts to hold a national dialogue.
It is like the rebels are rejecting the unilateral ceasefire deliberately just to derail the process of national dialogue, because they are seeing that the national dialogue is attracting attention of South Sudanese, even in the opposition. So they don't want this to happen.
Gabriel says the attack targeted government armed vehicles on the road as a way to disrupt government business. He claims the government is using the road to import goods, including fuel and other goods and services that are used to fight the SPLA-IO. Domich says the army will continue to adhere to the unilateral ceasefire Mr. Kiir declared last month. He says the SPLA is also respecting the president's appeal to government forces to enhance an enabling environment for conducting the national dialogue.
The SPLA will just to make whatever possible, at least to secure this lifeline routing, because this is the routing that supplies, you know, Juba with economical sources like food and all this, and even fuel. So we will not go for offensives, but we'll just try to ensure that this route is clean.
The Juba-Nimule Highway is the main route connecting South Sudan's capital Juba to the East African region via Uganda. It also remains the major trading route for importing goods by road from Uganda. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
The East African Court of Justice has issued an executive order blocking South Sudanese lawmakers from taking oath of office to join the East African Community Assembly. The move comes after a South Sudanese citizen petitioned the court to stop the swearing-in because President Kiir appointed the lawmakers in violation of East African Community procedures that require national parliament to elect representatives to the regional assembly. Tito Justin has this report for VOA from Juba.
Lawmakers in the East African Legislative Assembly were supposed to be sworn in on Monday this week. That did not happen in part because Kenyan political parties have yet to agree on their elected representatives to the regional parliament. The East African Court of Justice also stopped the swearing of SASDAN's 9 representatives to the assembly following a petition by Wanis Santino Jada, a South Sudanese lawyer who challenged the procedure South Sudan followed in appointing its members to the Arusha-based assembly. Jada says South Sudanese pay a huge membership due to be included in the East African community and must be allowed to elect their representatives to the East African Legislative Assembly by representatives serving in the parliament per Article 50 of the East African Community Constitution.
And since the government has violated that, I need them to go back and conduct an election in line with Article 50. You don't know the things of appointment. You can appoint military generals. You can appoint police. It has no problem. But when it comes to issues about East African treaties, there's nothing that needs degree there. It is not there totally wrong.
Mou Atian Kwal, Secretary General of a Juba-based Secretariat coordinating East African Community Affairs in South Sudan, says South Sudanese lawmakers will only swear in after the case in the East African Court of Justice has been heard.
The citizen says there was a violation of Article 50, election of members of the assembly. It says the National Assembly of each partner state shall elect, not from among its members, 9 members of the assembly. Who shall represent as much as it is feasible the various political parties represented in the National Assembly, shades of opinion, gender, and other special interest groups in that partner state.
Article 50 states the members that attend the East African Community Legislative Assembly must come from different parties and representing different opinions. The 9 lawmakers President Kiir handpicked are Ann Ito, Gabriel Garang, Gabriel Alak Garang, Thomas Dot Gideon Captain Ton, Issa Aziz Justin, Guy Deng Niel, Joseph Okel, and Adil Elias, most of whom are pro-government. Kwal says Mr. Kiir only endorsed lawmakers who were nominated by members of South Sudan's parliament in Juba.
Following that, the Speaker of the National Legislative Assembly thought it convenient to see the president of the country and inform him about what had been done for his country, and that in order for the country and the world to know that we have moved into a new stage in the process of national building, it was necessary that the president endorse the decisions made by parliament in regards to this.
South Sudan opposition lawmaker Joseph Okel confirms that the swearing-in has been delayed. Okel says he and the other appointed representatives have yet to hear from the government on what happens next.
We are 9 members from South Sudan. I was told that we were supposed to leave last Monday, but it turned out not to be true. So I came to WOW.
Kwal says South Sudan is ready to appear at the East African Community Court of Justice next week so that the issue can be resolved.
So it should not cause an alarm. It is a normal democratic process. And even for people who think that we are not democratic, they can see what is happening. A mere citizen has just raised an issue, and it is heard all over the East African community and perhaps the world. And therefore, that's the nature of democracy.
Kwal says the South Sudan representatives expecting to appear at the East African Court of Justice next week include Justice Minister Paulino Wanawila Onango, Speaker of National Legislative Assembly Anton Lino Makana, and Liberate Mufumukeko, Secretary General of the East African Community. South Sudan became the 6th member of the East African Community a year ago after President Kiir signed the EAC accession treaty. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at a congressional delegation visit to South Sudan. That story is coming up right after this break.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
why do you care about your physical appearance?
People treat you the way you project yourself. So if you project yourself to be a riffraff, you'll be treated like one. If you project yourself to be somebody who has relevance, you'll be treated as one also.
Image is everything. Before you talk to someone, you see them. So what you see is what you perceive.
Physical appearance counts much. It's the first impression about who you are. So if I don't handle myself well, people might have a wrong impression of who I really am.
Your physical appearance, you know, sells you as a person in the job market, one, and in your society, basically.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The United States has already committed over $1 billion for emergency work in South Sudan. A U.S. Democratic Congresswoman, Karen Bass of California, returned from South Sudan a week ago. Bass says South Sudan needs the support of the international community to save lives. She tells Ayen Bior she's also urging the Trump administration to appoint a special envoy for Sudan and South Sudan, as well as many other key positions that have yet to be filled.
This was my third visit to South Sudan, and my specific reason for going this time was related to the famine that is taking place, are potentially taking place, over four countries in the continent. However, South Sudan, out of the four, is the only country where famine has actually been declared.
You said your recent trip was extremely educational. What did you learn while you were in South Sudan last week?
Well, most important is how dire the situation is. And I also visited Uganda, and I went to Uganda in order to visit the refugee camps in northern Uganda, which are composed of people from South Sudan. And then when I was in South Sudan, I went up to northern South Sudan, to Bentu, the town of Bentu, to see the internally displaced persons camp as well. You know, from the United States, you're born and raised in the United States, it's very difficult to even imagine what it is like to have hundreds of thousands of people that literally pick up and walk to another country and then are displaced. So it's very important, while I work on legislation here, that I have a firsthand knowledge and experience of seeing what the situation is. Now, 2 weeks before I went on the trip, we just approved over $990 million to address the famine. And I it was too soon for that money to actually hit the ground, but I wanted to see whether or not that money was going to make a difference and what else was needed. The United Nations is saying $6 billion is required to address famine in the four countries. So given that the United States has made its contribution, our next step is to meet with embassies from other countries to ask them to also step up, so that we can raise the $6 billion that is needed to address famine.
A key figure for Sudan and South Sudan is a special envoy, and that a special envoy's position has been vacant since January, since Donald Booth left. Is the absence of a special envoy impacting our ability to engage with the region?
Absolutely. We need to have a special envoy. But I do have to tell you, even before you get to a special envoy, how about having an assistant secretary for Africa? I mean, the problem right now in the administration, as you know, is that there are many, many key positions that are not filled yet. and where people have not even been proposed. Now, it's not that they're being held up in terms of confirmation. They haven't even been proposed. So to not have an assistant secretary functioning under the Secretary of State is the first step. And then the second step would be a special envoy. To have a special envoy without an assistant secretary is a challenge as well.
I understand that you spoke directly with President Kiir. Could you tell me about that meeting? Did he strike you as a president who is doing everything in his power to stop the suffering of his people?
Well, he struck me as a president who is in the middle of a conflict and who is, you know, making efforts to address the conflict, whether the efforts are comprehensive, whether it's enough. I think, you know, one has to raise those questions. But, you know, we did have a meeting with him, and our focus was on addressing the situation and the immediate situation of the famine. I think it's very important that we get to addressing the root causes, and the root causes of the famine is the conflict. But our focus in speaking with the president was not the root causes, it was the immediate crisis.
And Uganda has been influential in the matters of South Sudan, not just in hosting hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese refugees, but also in their political influence among the leaders of South Sudan.
That's Democratic U.S. Congresswoman Karen Bass speaking earlier today with Ayen Bior from her office in Washington. A South Sudanese musician from the former Western Equatorial State says she is educating youth and parents on the shortcomings of social media through her songs. Joyce Enosa Mbaraza, also known as Sweet Jay, says social media has negatively affected traditional ways of living. She says most parents no longer have time for their children, and families and students are not performing well in schools because they spend most of their time using social media. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Kampala.
That Sweet Jay's song entitled Facebook says, social media has changed the culture of the good old days, the importance of family love and togetherness, Sweet Jay says, has been diminished.
I sat down and see the social media, how it's spoiling some of our parents, the kids, our social life that we used to have, it's no more there. So I sat down and said, no, it's better I tell people we have to control the use of, let me say, social media. So you can see now children are lacking their parental love. People are not having time for their children anymore. In many schools, children are not performing very well now because of Facebook and other social media things.
Joy says school girls often fail the examinations because they spend so much time browsing the internet, especially Facebook, instead of studying. She says many young girls post nude pictures of themselves on Facebook, which violates South Sudanese traditions. She says hate speech is also evident on Facebook, which she says whips up ethnic hatred among South Sudanese communities. The 27-year-old musician says she has recorded 36 songs in Arabic, English, and her native Zande. Her latest songs decried the overuse of Facebook and the suffering of South Sudanese women and children.
With music, we can pass the message to everybody, and through music, I think peace can come very quick to South Sudan because music can go everywhere. You can sleep with music in your own bedroom, everywhere music can reach. If we preach peace in our music as South Sudanese artists, peace will come because everybody will hear the message of peace through our songs.
But Joy says it is not easy being an artist from South Sudan.
We don't have a nice recording studios back home. And also, we don't have market for our songs. Though we are singing, we don't have market. We are lacking promoters, people who can back us up to go to another level. And we don't have peace to perform our songs or to present what we are having, the talent we are having. We don't have a wire to show because of the security.
Joy says another big challenge musicians in South Sudan face is the absence of copyright laws. Without such laws, artists cannot protect their work from thieves who steal it and make money off it. Joy says the government should enact laws to prevent theft and help artists spread the message of peace.
I'm appealing to our government to consider the talent that their artists are having. We are the voice to the voiceless. Through us, they can talk to many people. They can talk to their citizens through us as musicians. They should take us with one hand. We should work hands in hands with them together to bring peace and stability in our country.
Anissa Records.
Don't you know? Oh, Mama Land.
Joy is a first-year student at the Cavendish University, Uganda, offering social works and social administration. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Kampala.
That's our show for this Friday. We will leave you with more of Sweet Jay's song. This song is Tapta Junub. That was Sweet Jay with the song Tapta Junub. I am John Tanza in Washington. Have a safe and happy weekend. And please join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mundum sotsila, kalamde.